50 years ago today, two scientists had a flash of insight that changed the world. After months of struggling with the problem of how the molecule DNA stored genes, they realized that its structure was a double helix. Knowing that explained how a simple chemical carries our genetic inheritance. It solved one of biology's greatest mysteries at the time and opened the door to what has become the hottest area of medical research. NPR's Joe Palca reports.
American James Watson and Englishman Francis Crick were an interesting pair. In 1953, Watson was a 24-year-old biochemist who had started his research career as a bird watcher. Crick, then 36, was a physicist who had turned to biology. 10 years ago, at a celebration of the 40th anniversary of their discovery held at Cold Spring Harbor Laboratory in New York, Crick and Watson sat together and described their partnership.
I'm sure Francis and I talked about guessing the structure of DNA within a half hour of probably meeting. I mean, it was the thing I wanted to do. Certainly, Francis did all the thinking, and I had sort of the goal.
It isn't true that I did all the thinking, but you should make the general observation that two people are better than one.
To crack the problem, they built what looked like tinker toy models of what they guessed the structure would be. They were helped enormously by an X-ray picture of DNA that another scientist, Rosalind Franklin, had taken some months earlier. 40 years later, the details of the precise eureka moment were fuzzy.
But it was a Saturday morning, as I remember.
Well, I thought it was because I had to work for 2 or 3 days building the thing.
It could have been a Friday when we found the base first, but then the following Monday you started building the model.
It could be, Jim. You probably got the days right.
The amazing thing about the structure of DNA is that it instantly shows how a simple chemical can pass genetic information from one generation to the next. You can think of a double helix as a kind of twisted ladder. Each rung of the ladder is made up of a pair of interlocking chemical letters that go together in a specific order. All you have to do to copy the DNA is split the ladder down the middle. Each side now is a template for the next generation. Crick says other scientists quickly realized the importance of their discovery.
We did have a constant stream of visitors, so much so that Jim got sick of me because I was in a state of somewhat of euphoria explaining all this, and Jim would get to go out of the room. He couldn't bear to hear it all over again.
Well, I thought, it was so obvious you didn't have to talk about it.
Obvious, maybe. Fundamentally important, definitely. Francis Collins is director of the federally funded Human Genome Project. He says even 50 years later, it's impossible to overstate the importance of knowing the structure of DNA.
It is so intertwined in every bit of what we do experimentally in terms of perceiving our own position in the scheme of life on this planet. It has become one of those givens that is so central to your thinking that you stop thinking about it. But if somebody took it away from you, your whole intellectual foundation would collapse, and it would be unimaginable what we would be doing now if we didn't know about the double helix.
Knowing the structure of DNA has made possible one of the most important projects biologists have ever undertaken, an effort to determine all the letters in a human being's DNA. Collins says it's changing every aspect of biology.
It's rather equivalent to trying to understand something without an instruction book versus having it all laid out there in front of you, even if when you first open it, you're not quite sure what it's telling you. If you don't have it at all, you're really in the dark. This is, after all, in these 3 billion letters, the code for constructing a human being. And within it also, we are finding all of these variants that play a role in whether something goes wrong. So it is the most fundamental information you could possibly imagine for human biology and for human medicine.
Most of the genetic discoveries that have been made so far from this instruction book, as Collins calls it, have focused on diseases that are caused by a single gene. But James Watson says complex disorders involving multiple genes have also begun to yield their secrets to genetic analysis.
What's the basis of mental disease? The first genes are just coming out. And it really did take the Human Genome Project to put us in a position where we could attack that problem.
But Watson's confidence is one end of what's called the nature-nurture debate. It's an old debate. The nature crowd believes life can be explained by innate biological properties, such as genes. The nurture folks say, hang on, surely the way we're raised and the environment we're in play a role. Behavioral geneticist Robert Plowman of King's College in London says the euphoria of knowing how DNA works has pushed the debate too far toward the nature end.
it's important to emphasize that these complex traits like personality, mental illness, cognitive abilities, they show significant genetic influence, but they also show very significant environmental influence.
Brown University's Ann Fausto Sterling says genes are crucial, but just a starting point.
Genes don't do anything without cells that they're in, and cells don't do anything without the bodies they're in, and bodies don't do anything without the culture that they're in.
Fausto Sterling says understanding genes in their environment is the crucial work for the coming decade. Now, if the big problem in biology 50 years ago was figuring out the structure of DNA, what's the big problem today? James Watson says it's to understand how memories are stored in the brain.
Seems to me a much more challenging one than the one Francis and I faced, which in retrospect was a relatively easy one, or a birdwatcher couldn't have made much contribution to it.
But like many critical problems, they only seem easy after they're solved. Joe Palca, NPR News, Washington.